Welcome to another inspirational message from Gateway Life Church. We're so glad that you've joined us and trust that this podcast will be a blessing to you.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's really great to see you here today. We want to thank you for joining us both here on site and online. Great to have some guests with us also. And our prayer for all of you is that today you'll just really encounter personally the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. I really do believe that our worship team did a fantastic job today. Can we please give them a mighty hand of appreciation? And I really do want to take this opportunity to express, I mean, I could be here all day just saying thanks to so many people, but I really just want to express sincere thanksgiving just to all of those people who have tirelessly worked throughout the whole year. Obviously, we've never encountered a year like this, like, you know, people all over the globe, and people have worked so hard and paid a price and made a sacrifice. And, you know, you all know who you are. So I just want us to give them a great big hand of appreciation as well. Thank you so much to all of you. All right, I should get into my message today. And I'm really excited to be sharing this message. And I consider it a great honor and a great privilege to always be sharing the words of God, because they are not the words of a man. They are, in actual fact, the words of God given to men who were inspired by God to write. You see, if I have a secretary and I ask them to take down the following, yes, they are the ones who are writing down the notes that I give them, but at the end of the day, I'm the author of the letter, and this is how the Bible was written. The Bible says that every word is inspired by the Holy Spirit, even though it was written by men. So it is a great honor. It's a great honor to hear the word of God as well. This is where faith comes. You see, if you want your faith to grow, if you want your faith to rise, you've got to position yourself. You've got to get in proximity, okay, of where the word of God is taught, where the gospel is preached, and where the name of Jesus Christ is worshipped and lifted up, okay? And so when you do, this is how faith rises. And I really do believe prophetically right here, right now, that by the end of this message, my prayer and my belief is this, that everyone's heart, everyone's mind would shift. In what way, you might ask? I'm talking about where your heart and your mind will turn all the more to Jesus, and that the things of the earth. You see, I understand that Christmas is very much a magnifier. It can magnify what we have. It can also really highlight and magnify what we don't have. And subsequently, when we think about what we don't have, it can cause all manner of discomfort and depression and things like that to come upon us. But you see, what I believe is through the preaching of the gospel and in the lifting up of the name of Jesus, the things of the world, you see, grow strangely dim. You know, one of the reasons why people can get so uptight this time of year, and sadly and regrettably, you know, domestic violence is on the increase heading into December and around Christmas time, and it's simply because of all the pressure, the unnecessary pressure and the unrealistic expectations. And I want to encourage you to watch your expectations at Christmas. Let your expectation to be, number one, to love and serve God by loving and serving people. You see, Jesus himself said that he had not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. You see, Jesus even knew that when it came to being on the cross, and I know that it's Christmas, and I'm just referencing the cross right now, but Jesus always knew that he would die alone. His expectation was not in the fact that he would have so many people around him. Even Peter with good intentions, and so many people at Christmas, they have good intentions and they can overpromise and underdeliver. And Peter, the Apostle Peter, was someone who overpromised but underdelivered. And this is what it can be like at Christmas. We ourselves can expect others to overdeliver at Christmas. That's why I say, hey, watch your expectations. And so Peter, he overpromised, but of course he underdelivered. He said, Jesus, if you go to the cross, I'll go with you. And Jesus knew. And he said, listen, before it gets dark tonight, you're going to deny that I even existed. You see, Jesus knew the reason why he had come to serve. I tell you, if your expectation is just to serve, it's to love, it's to serve, it's to be the person on Christmas Day who gets up from the table and begins to wash the dishes and not wait for anyone else to clear the table. I tell you what, you'll be a whole lot freer. Don't wait for someone else to do what you already know needs to be done. In the home, in your business, in the community, in the church. Don't wait for others to do what you know already needs to be done. Could it be if you're the one who saw it, if you're the one who knows about it, and perhaps the resources aren't there, perhaps you're the one who needs to do it. Just a thought. But in this series, our Christmas series is called Hope is Born. And you know, in every nativity scene, we see the Christmas star of Bethlehem, which led the wise men to the arrival of the promised Savior, Jesus Christ. And we pick it up in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. And it says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. A few verses later, in verse 10, it says, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And again, our Christmas series is called Hope is Born. And I really do believe that it's such a fitting title, especially because of a celestial phenomenon that has not occurred now for the past 800 years. And I refer to the Christmas star of 2020. On December 21, which is actually tomorrow night, Jupiter and Saturn will come into complete alignment where they'll appear to be one star, visible to the naked eye around the world. And again, this is known as the Christmas star of 2020. Has anyone seen it yet? Put your hand up if you've seen it. Yeah, I had a good look at it last night and I was in absolute awe. And the Christmas star of 2020 has so many exciting parallels and biblical reminders linked to the star of Bethlehem. When I had a look last night, like, you got to understand, like, this has not come around now for like 800 years. That's eight lifetimes if you live to 80. Like, that's extraordinary. You and I are living in that time. Our own eyes have seen this. And so today, I'd like to share four reasons why the Christmas star of 2020 brings us hope in this final month of the year. Like, can't you just see the divine timing of God? At Christmas time, the last month of a global pandemic, the Christmas star reminding us that greater things are yet to come. So point number one today, I have four points. Point number one today, the Christmas star of 2020 reminds us to look up. When was the last time you took a good look up? You know, it's easy to look down. It's easy to feel down. It's easy to stay down. And it's easy to shut down. But the scriptures are full of passages that encourage us to look up. But why should we look up? Number one, we should look up because it's scriptural. Number two, we should look up because looking up has a supernatural way of lifting us up. I don't know how that happens. I don't know where the transition actually takes place. But when I lift up my eyes from the things of the earth and my own failures and whatever else, it just has a way of lifting me up, you see. Number three, why should you look up? Because number three, that's where your true love is. And that's where true beauty is. You see, the most attractive beauty on the planet is spiritual beauty. You see, it doesn't matter how beautiful you are on the outside. It doesn't matter how handsome you are on the outside. The Bible says that the flesh is passing away, but our inward person is being renewed every day. Psalm 34 verse 5 says, they looked to him and they were radiant and their faces were never ashamed. You know, it's easy to see when someone's not ashamed. It's displayed in the countenance, in the light of their countenance. They looked to him and they were radiant. It's been so awesome to see so many people just become so radiant this year. And it's been easy to see. You can see it. There are too many people to name right now, but it's easy to see. And you can tell it's because, they're looking to Jesus. Because if they weren't looking to Jesus, if they were fixed on the things of the earth, if they were looking at all their flaws, you know, like you take a selfie, right? Take a selfie, hey, boom. What do you think? No, my ears are exposed. That's not a flawless shot. Let's do that again. You know, click, you're happy? No, I've got to get my hair down right, whatever, you know. And so it's easy to see who were lifting up their eyes. You know, to be radiant means to radiate, to send out light, to shine and to glow brightly. And it says they looked to him and were radiant. Isaiah chapter 40 verse 26 says, lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these stars. Are you ready for this? This will blow your mind. Look to him who created these stars. The one who leads forth their host by number, he calls them all by name. Because of the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one of them is missing. Wow. That blows my mind. Do you know that astronomers estimate that in their own galaxy neighborhood itself, which is called the Milky Way, that there are over 100,000 million stars? That's just in our own galaxy neighborhood. 100,000 million stars, and the Bible says that God knows each one by name. And of course, outside of our own Milky Way, there are millions upon millions of other galaxies as well. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And I really do believe that by looking up at the Christmas star of 2020, we also get a tangible picture and a reminder of the star of Bethlehem and what it would have been like when the Magi, when the wise men followed the star to the birth of Jesus. It's like, wow. Point number two today, the Christmas star of 2020 points others to Jesus. Because you see, in the same way that the star of Bethlehem lit up the night sky and the pathway for the wise men to find our Savior, our prayer this year is that the Christmas star of 2020 can also lead others to Jesus, if not back to Jesus. Celestial events like these have a way of bringing the scriptures to life and giving non-believers a tangible encounter and experience with our Heavenly Father and Creator. What I'm about to share now is just a little bit intense. It's a little intense, but it's right that I share it with you so that I give you the full counsel of the gospel and the words of Jesus Christ, because he also said in Luke chapter 21, verses 25 and 26, Jesus said, this is what he said. He said, there will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. I just want to say that if ever that scripture came to light, it was this year. This year. You know, we've had record monsoon rains this year, record typhoons, particularly that hit the Philippines and the Far East. And we've had the worst locust outbreak since the plagues of Egypt that destroyed crops, particularly in Africa, and lowered their national food supplies. We, of course, had fires around Australia, and who can forget COVID? A global pandemic that pretty much shut down the church in some ways, not in every way. It always stayed open, might have shut the doors, but our hearts were always open. And of course, the global economy. Jesus went on to say that people will faint with terror I think that's because where people's expectations can really lie. And it says people will faint from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world. They were apprehensive, and we've never been more apprehensive. For the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Jesus is saying that, listen, these signs will appear in the sun, the moon, and the stars before the great coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why did the Lord say that? It's kind of like, hey, listen, guys. Hey, listen, planet. Listen, people of the earth. You know, because of sin, because of the fall in the garden, you've messed up. It's kind of, in many ways, unrepairable. So now I've come to lead you back to the Father. I've made a way through the cross, through dying upon the cross for the sins of the world. And we're now building a new heaven and a new earth, which will one day come. Okay, it's coming. But now the opportunity, the invitations have been sent to come back to the table of the Lord again. Jesus also said in John chapter 16, verse 33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Point number three today, the Christmas star of 2020, it reminds us of Jesus' return. If the star of Bethlehem pointed the wise men to the arrival, the first arrival of Jesus Christ, could it be that this astronomical sign points us to the second coming of Christ? Yes and amen. Yes and amen. And although we can't predict when the day or the hour of Jesus is coming, what we can be certain of is that we are in the last days. We can be certain of that. He will return. And when we see signs and wonders around the world and natural phenomena taking place, we remember what the Holy Bible says, that such are the conditions of these last days. And Revelation chapter 22, verse 12 says, it says, look, these are the words of Jesus. He said, look, I am coming soon, and my reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. My last point today, point number four, the Christmas star of 2020 on the darkest day of the year. Wow. I mean, like, this is divine, divine timing. The day the Christmas star will appear happens to be the Northern Hemisphere's winter solstice, which is also the shortest and darkest day of 2020 for those living in that particular location. And so this year's astronomical event is a reminder that on the darkest day of 2020, there is a great light. A great light. Now listen, this is one of the reasons why the scripture says that they who have ears to hear and eyes to see, let them hear and let them see what the Spirit is saying. That's what the Bible says. And the Bible also says that if today you hear His voice, don't harden your heart. In other words, don't pretend that you didn't hear. There comes a responsibility with knowing supreme truths. You know what's amazing about God? Let me tell you what's amazing about God. He loves the whole world. He loves the whole world. It's a passage that we all know so well, which is John chapter 3, verse 16. It says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world. Wow, what a capacity to love the world. Personally, I don't have that kind of capacity. I don't have the kind of capacity to love the world. I want to love the world. I want to do all I can to love people and to love the world, but I don't have the capacity to do that. My capacity is limited. I'm only a human being, you know, called by God, but nevertheless, my capacity is limited. Your capacity is limited, but God's capacity is unlimited. For God so loved the world. And the good news is this, if you find yourself in the world, then you must be included in God's love. God loves you. And it's good to be reminded. And we've got to get to the place where that becomes a belief and not just a feeling or not just a thought. Okay, we got to believe, well, God loves me. God loves me. But the beautiful thing is this, God has not called us to love the world. You're not called to love the world, but we are called to love ourselves. And we are called to go and love our neighbor. The Bible says it's core value number one at Gateway. If you're new to Gateway, or perhaps you're considering, you're looking for a new church home, then core value number one here at Gateway Life Church is love. Core value number two is serve. We only have two core values here, and they're the greatest in the universe because Jesus said so. And the Bible says to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and to then go and love your neighbor as yourself. The last passage that I want to read out, the prophet Isaiah said in chapter 9, verse 2, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. Verse 6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. Did you hear that? There is no end to his peace. It doesn't run out. It's not human peace. It's not human, it's divine. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this, and it will accomplish this in your life.
Thanks for listening to this week's message from Gateway Life Church. For more information, please visit gatewaylifechurch.org.au. God bless and have a great day.